You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Leinster. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We're going through a mini series now called Jesus Changed Everything. Today we're going to see that Jesus changed church. Jesus changed the way that we see church, the way we experience church, the way that we are as church. So don't you say that you left the church, God is calling you to be Jesus to this town. And sometimes I think from all the places that God could have called us, taken us, He was so specific to bring us to this town. And I thought, why is that God wants to bring us here for another church? Why is that you guys are here and come to see a new church? And I think the Spirit sometimes wants to bring something new, and it can be for our lives, it can be for a town, it can be for a group of people. But I think the story that how the church started is all to do with keeping step with the Spirit, hearing the Spirit. And the word I want to bring today is just a reminder for our souls, for our hearts, for our minds, that is how we should live. Authentic Christian lives for the glory of Jesus means following Him each day as He called you, or He calls you to do. It's about obedience, it's about supernatural living, and it's about outreach, it's about talking about Him to others. So we're gonna explore together today. First Peter 2:5 says, "For you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you are building each one of us like living stone, burning for you, O God, full of your Spirit. People that are not here just to act like professional Christians, but God, they just attend the service, they just sing another song, they're just ready to hear another Bible scripture, but they are here because they want to encounter you, the living God, and the part of your cause, Christ, of this thing that you want to build in this place. And I pray for our hearts that you prepare to steer us, for God, that you cut through the deep parts of our hearts, O God, so we can hear from you, O God. Not from me, not from Jason, but we can hear from you today, O God. Hear where you're taking us as a church, but also as individuals, O God. How can we live lives where we follow your Spirit, where you obey you, O God, and we see your move. We see your Spirit moving and acting. Holy Spirit, we pray for your presence in this place, O God. We cannot do this without you, O God. It's not about having the right technology, it's not about having a flow in the service. It's about meeting you, O God, and making space, so that your word can cut through our hearts, O God. So that your Spirit can transform who we are, O God. Holy Spirit, we pray that take over today, O God, and that we can hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so John Piper says that Christian living is supernatural or is nothing.
Amen.
So when you go to a church or a church service, or you meet with people from church and the Bible said anything, it needs to be a little bit weird. Okay?
Amen.
If it looks too normal, there's something wrong, because Christian living is supernatural or is nothing, or it's just natural. And we're not called to be natural. Okay? So today, hear the Spirit, where He takes you, while we're talking, He may stir things in your heart, to your life, calling to obedience to Him, calling to hear from Him. Go where the Spirit is leading you today. While we talk, I'm pretty sure the Spirit's going to talk to you. He's going to challenge you about living a life for Him. So intentional living, one thing that Jason and I talk a lot, every time that we try to stop and talk about marriage, talk about our kids. So talk about this church is how can we be intentional about what we do. So this is why we're doing this today. Noisy kids in the background. This is for you too, to say that the way that we live, guys, matters. What we value, our passion, all of this matters. And today we are intentionally trying to stir up your faith. And I think one thing that helps us, well, for me, is hearing faith stories, hearing testimonies, hearing stories where God knew, not did. So when we decided to come and start this church, we were intentional about obeying God and following Him. So this is why Jesus is here. He's going to share the story for those that haven't heard yet. I think most of you have, but some of you haven't. but it's how we want to start today. Yeah?
Just for checking, who here has heard the story of how the church has started? Who here has heard? Oh, so less than half of us. Amazing. If that's not a measure of what's happening at the church at the moment, that's great. So, Paolo and myself have been married a few years by this point, and we're part of the church in CLC Hereford. And they planted a church fairly recently in Ross, and they were looking at where the next church plant would be. And in their hearts, the leadership at CLC Leinster knew it was going to be at CLC Hereford, knew it was going to be in Leinster. So after weeks, months of prayerful consideration, after a Sunday service, Tim, who's our senior pastor of the CLC hall, comes up to me and goes, "Jason, what do you think about leading CLC in Leinster?" Now, at this point, me and Paolo haven't led anything. We've not led a small group at all. We've not led a ministry, as it were. So our qualification for church leadership was about here, in terms of what we had or hadn't done. And we, you know, we said, "We'll think about it. Thanks for considering us." That was, you know, huge honour to be considered. So straight away that afternoon, we took a drive by around Leinster. I don't know if it was what it was exactly, but as we were driving up the A49, we then turned into Leinster, and suddenly just everything turned to red. Everything, like, it felt like the colour had just left the scenery. We drove up bar gates, it started to rain, and, you know, if you're looking for kind of, if you're looking for words and pictures, what we got was, "This place is grey and dead." I think exactly how we felt on that first afternoon about starting church in Leinster. So we thought, okay, that was the initial, like, you know, big toe in the water, see how it's looking. So we spent a few more weeks praying and seeking God. This was about late August, early September. Then, after a number of months, might be about 2 months by this point, we were ready to turn around to leadership and still say, "No thanks. This isn't for us. We have no heart in this. What we cannot see any way of us leading the church forward if our heart is not in Leinster." And every time we drive past it, every time we drive through it, there's just nothing there. I used to live in Leinster. I lived in Leinster until I was 8 years old. And in terms of life arcs and trajectories, you don't exactly imagine yourself ever coming back to Leinster. It's not that kind of place. But, so when Tim asked us to go to Leinster, I was like, that wasn't on the plan. That was not where I wanted to go to. We've spoken about planting churches in bigger cities. Cheltenham's quite nice. Got some of the buildings, Birmingham, Cardiff, Bristol maybe. France, you know, think of somewhere else. Well, you know, we'll do your bidding over there. But no, we were asked to plant church in Leinster. We were ready to turn around and say no. We cannot leave something that our heart is not in it. And we were like a week before, we gave ourselves 1 week, and we said, right, this particular week, we have a number of things coming up on our church calendar. We've got a a church weekend away at the end of the week. And this particular weekend, we had a visiting speaker from Bethel Church over in America. Very prophetic, listened to the Spirit really well, very discerning. And we said, okay, last-ditch effort. We'll see what happens over the next 10 days and make our decision on that. So we rock up to church on a Friday evening event. And the kind of lady who's giving kind of chief, the main talk, comes up to each of us separately, kind of says, oh, you guys are really young. And then afterwards, we found out we were married. She was like, that's not legal in this country, is it? Just because of how young we both looked. Yeah, it was a few years ago. I wasn't like, yeah. And at the end of kind of their main Sunday event, she comes up to us and she gives us a picture. And the picture was of a house with two kids inside it. And in the picture, in the dream that she had, she was leaving the house with these two kids in. And in the process of leaving the house, the boy and the girl, the boy, in her words, man up. He grew up. And as that was happening, there was a sheriff on a horse that was coming around and circling around the house that they were in. And she used the word frontier, that you guys are going to the edge of something. And it was a house on the edge of this kind of frontier. So that was interesting. That was cool. That evening, they then had a prophetic meeting where they would be praying over various CLC people. And the same word came up a number of times, which was to myself and Howard, which were, you guys are wise beyond your years. Which again was really nice. Really nice, encouraging word, fantastic. But at this point, nothing really directional. 2 days later, on a Tuesday evening, I was on my way back home from work. I worked as a nurse at this point. And on the way home, I was really praying to God, like, God, our heart is not in this. We still have nothing directional from you. Give us a word. Then as I was thinking that, this thought came into my head of, wouldn't it be really cool if God used a fox to confirm this word? Wouldn't that be cool? And the moment that thought came into my head, I was like, whoa, Jason, your faith is way too low for this. Like, stop being a Gideon, you know, you don't have to test God. You don't get to tell God how to speak to you. And I kind of like left it at that. Weekend comes, we're at this church planting conference. Now, it's a church planting conference for church planters. At this point, we are not church planters. So we go into the meeting, and you're coming around dinner, and everyone's kind of asking, oh, hi, so where are you guys planting church? And we're like, we're not planting church, but we're just here to check it out. Okay. Oh, where are you guys from? Where are you guys planting? We're not planting church. And by the time we said it about 5 or 6 times, it gets a little bit repetitive. So we just kind of stayed to the side, to be honest. And there were some fantastic people there. There were people who had been planting church for like 5 years and seen it grow to hundreds. There are people there that were looking to kind of sell and drop everything and go to the Middle East. We were in the room with some fantastic people. And then the end of the kind of conference, they had a little prophetic meeting service as well. And in amongst, actually about this number of people, about 30 people were at this conference. And out of all the people, when they started this worship and prophetic meeting, the moment they said, right, I was prophesying, they pointed to Paola and myself and said, right, you two, get into the middle. And we were like, oh shoot. When you're in a room full of prophets and you're picked first, it's going to get heavy. So the guy who was like prophesying first initially said, the word I got for you two was Nineveh. Now, when I looked it up on the map, it turns out Nineveh's in modern-day Iran, which at the time wasn't the best place to go plant a church. So he's like, it's not go to Nineveh, but he was saying, you two are like the story of Jonah. Jonah was told to go somewhere, but went the other way. Jonah's story, his destiny, was wrapped up in the destiny of a place he didn't want to go. I was like, oh, that kind of sounds like our story, doesn't it? Fancy that. Then the next person comes along and says, yeah, actually, as he was prophesying that, the word that we got was the story of Ananias, where God tells Ananias in the book of Acts, go to this place, go to Straight Street, and at this place you will meet this person. Now, Ananias, just in obedience, went to this place and did exactly what God told him to, which was meet a person. Now, that person ended up being Paul. Paul, who ended up being like the apostle who planted pretty much the churches in the early first century. He became an evangelist that saw hundreds and hundreds of people saved. So that was quite niche, you know, with a directional word to go and do what God had said. And then a third person came up. And as we were holding hands, kind of thinking, okay, we've now had two prophetic words that are fairly kind of clear about, you know, following God into different places. And then the third person comes up, a lady. She starts praying. We're holding hands, eyes closed, all these kind of crazy charismatic people praying and speaking in tongues and stuff. And she picks up her hands, and the first thing she says when she starts praying is, I see a fox.
Yay!
At which point, our hands are like kind of going white because we're holding each other's hands so much. And I was just like, shoot, someone heard me. And the moment that she said that, the temperature in our hearts changed. Our hearts were completely turned around. So it was no longer a matter of just pure blind faith and obedience. The moment that she said, I see a fox, a prayer that I hadn't prayed, a word that I didn't want, an image that I wanted to discard, God had heard it. And someone else had heard it as well, strong enough to speak out. So then she starts speaking about how foxes are sly creatures who get underneath enemy lines. They make burrows for themselves underneath fences. And she was saying kind of, it's almost like she got the whole spiritual history of Leinster wrapped up in this picture of a fox getting underneath difficult places where other people in the past hadn't managed to get into. And in the process of saying this, she came upon a couple of lines that we've already previously heard that week, and she kept saying that you guys are wise beyond your years. So at the time, what looked like was going to be a grey, dead calling became this. After that prophetic meeting, another lady from CLC came up to us straight away and said, guys, this is going to sound really strange, but after hearing what that lady said, I've been praying to God to give me some prophetic words. And the word he gave me this morning for you guys, even before coming to the meeting, was fantastic, Mr. Fox. And she said, I had no idea what it was. I had no idea what it meant. All I knew was that it was in my head. I just couldn't get it out, but I was too scared to share it. But after that lady did, now I know what it was. So then we had another confirmation, in a weirdly strange way, about what was meant to happen. So that Saturday, we decided to put a house on the market. I think maybe the Monday, we got in touch with the estate agents. 3 days later, we got an offer accepted on the house. We then moved to Leinster end of April, May, the year after, and started meetings in our front room 5 years ago. We started meeting in our front room on Sunday afternoons. Louise would have remembered a few of those. But at the time, I'm trying to think, Norma was there. Yeah. Norma, who else was here?
Ken and Leslie.
Yeah. Levi, did you join us the year after? So the initial kind of meetings in our front room. Ellie May was there, we had our foster kids there over time. Yeah, I mean, that was our first ever church meeting, that's crazy. So, 5 years ago, our front room has now become you guys.
What a thought.
So, through that, God has impacted countless other lives. We've got stories of homeless people coming to know Christ and getting baptized. We've got stories of grandparents who, after years and years and years of hearing the gospel, deciding in CLC Leinster to give their lives to Jesus. We've got stories of healing. We've got stories of missions. We've got stories of just so many people looking for something and then finding that through this church, through this family, through this body, that their prayers are being answered. God changed our hearts on that day when we received that prophecy. God changed our destiny the day that we heard that prophecy. There are things that you're going through right now that you might be feeling a dead and grave. There are things that you're going through right now that you might be feeling that is not on my list of things to get to do before I'm 30. Not on my list of things to do before I retire. That's not on my retirement list. But God is in the business of revival. God is in the business of turning dead things into living things. God turns grave things into great things. He turns the things in your hearts and in your souls into something beautiful and valuable. Each and every single one of you has something inside of you that God wants to use, that needs to be used for his kingdom. I have to say, over the past few years, just to see all you guys being a part of what's happening here has just been so beautiful. It really has. And this is why, for us, that key word that we keep coming back to in terms of CLC Leinster is obedience. You might not feel it, but you move. Because your heart can change out of obedience. So I've spoken for way too long. But I just love you guys. You mean so much to us. And this means so much to us. thank you for being here. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for being involved. And we get so excited about what God has done, is doing, and will be doing. There's just so much here. There's so much stories of change. There is so many stories of faith and hope within this church. You know, we used to meet on Sundays and Wednesdays, two people in a front room. And now we're, you know, it's just beautiful to see so many of you. I had no idea who you were beforehand. To now see you guys here week after week, to get to call you guys friends, to get to call you guys family, is an absolute privilege. So thank you. Thank you for letting us be this.
Yes, so this story is all about letting God decide what to do and let him guide. So the kids have been learning upstairs about the God I need to know. So they've been learning about the Holy Spirit. We're learning about how we live a life where we stop and listen to what the Spirit taking us or talking to us. And it's so exciting when God speaks to you. I don't know if you guys know, but Hugo had a vision the other Sunday and he shared, and all the children upstairs were like, "What do you think it is?" And they just like, God is trying to talk to Hugo, so they pray about it and try to figure it out, because it is exciting to think that God wants to speak to us. He actually wants to guide us. So like Jason said, as soon as we heard that God was taking us here, our hearts were changed. If it is, if God is in this, it's going to be exciting. If God is in this, it's going to be powerful. If God is in this, it's the right thing for us to do. And we pursued. And it's the same for you. You being 5 years old, 8 years old, 30 years old, 50, 60, whatever it is that God has for you today, now, it is exciting. It's when he takes you, it's when he's going to take his spirit, and when he wants to bring something new.
Amen.
So Jason said a word there that was like a promise to us, and then he was promised that he was going to do something when we obeyed. And Jesus gave a similar word to the disciples before he left. He said to him, I'll send you a promise, and that promise was the Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to spend some time, I know that I'm a lot of time, but we're going to spend some time just pressing in His presence, to have this fresh hunger, this desire for His presence, for His voice in our lives, for His guidance. We can't spend a week without letting the Spirit talk to us, letting Him guide what it is that we're doing, being intentional of our lives, by His taking us, like I said in my prayer, He's not called us to be professional Christians. Christians that come to church every Sunday, they know the Bible so much, but it's so dry. It doesn't make sense when we look to your days in your life, and it should match up what is that we read to our hearts, to what we do, to how we live. And that's our prayer today, that He transform us so that as individuals and then as a church, we can transform the place that we are and the people that God brings in front of us. So Jesus said to the disciples, I will bring the Holy Spirit, said to them, wait. So in Acts 1, 4-5, He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you haven't heard me speak about. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said for them to wait. And in our story, we spent quite a long time just praying, trying, like, He's going to say something. Soon, He's going to say something. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if it's just been like really dry season with God or really like God, but sometimes we need to really press on and wait, because it's not just a word that He gives a passion to live for Him, but He gives the fire. The fire that we need from the Holy Spirit to live in His presence and for Him and for His glory. And I really get excited when we act, because it's the beginning of the church, and us being a church plant, we need to get really excited about when we act, because it's that beginning. We're just thinking about how God started His church. And if you see the disciples, when Jesus was around, they were really always seem a little bit confused, lost. They always had to wait and see what is Jesus doing, and they would follow Him, and they would not share, like, Jesus, we don't have food, or like we were a little bit today, like, the project is not working, what are we going to do? And, you know, when we're like, Jesus, come on, do something. They were always a bit lost and not full of confidence and trying to figure out what Jesus was all about, what to think about the Messiah, are we going to have a war, are we going to fight people, or what is it all about? But as soon as Jesus leaves us and says, wait for the Holy Spirit, and we know that they receive the Holy Spirit, they change. Don't you think that when you read Acts, they don't seem like the same disciples from the Gospel or Matthew and they change, and the Bible says that they have boldness. Something changed in Jesus' life for the disciples. When they received the Holy Spirit, the way that they talk about Jesus, the way they talk about God, changed. And this is what happens with us. The fire that they spirit in our lives makes change the way we experience His words, but also the way they experience being a church, being His voice to His word, it changed. He gave us boldness. So as soon as they received the Holy Spirit, Peter, the same Peter that we read before, he then started preaching, just like I do now. Suddenly he started preaching, and his preach is all about repentance. So the Peter that was so confused about following Jesus, the one that denied Jesus a few times, that was seemed insecure, become so secure of who Jesus was, what God was all about, and he then led 3,000 people to repentance. Mm-hmm. And I love that the Word of God says that, let me see, in Acts 2, he says that when the people heard this, so when the people heard what Peter was saying, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? So something that Peter was saying went through the heart of the people and made 3,000 people believe that Jesus was God and what everything he said was true. So it is hard to believe that it's the same Peter, but there's something, there's a fire, there's a power, there's an authority, there's a boldness that comes when we wait and receive the Holy Spirit. And the message that the Peter shared with them was a hard message, was about repentance. Was a message saying to them what they need to do. And he says, save yourselves from this generation. So he says that with many words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So there's something that happens with each one of us when we wait for the Spirit. So sometimes it seems repetitive, it seems tiring, that why do these guys like repeat those songs? Why do they pray again and again? Why someone is doing this spiritual song? But it is because we press and we know that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have the boldness to share His word to this hurting generation, to do what He's asking us to do. Just like God gave that fox picture to Jesus and I, and in Galilee, see, as Christians, we already have a direction. We talked about this year. He already gave us, each one of us, a mission. This is what we live for. It's what He calls. And the Spirit is what gives us the food to live the life that He has called us to. And then, the disciples transformed and changed by the Spirit. Like I said, they were really insecure before, but suddenly they were really bold. And one key thing in their lives was prayer. So they spent all those years with Jesus, and one thing they saw Jesus doing all the time was taking himself out to pray. And you can see that they started to do that after they were baptized with the Spirit. So when we read about the Bible, it says that Peter and John were walking to the temple. They were walking to the temple for prayer. So you can see that was something that started their routine. And they see a man sat by the gate. And if you know the story, the man, they asked him for money. And they stop and say, silver or gold, I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And walking. So this is the same thing that happened before when things just get really confused about what's happening. But now, people have the authority and they knew exactly what they have inside of them. They have the authority of Jesus, they have the power of Jesus, they have the fire of the Spirit to be able to say to a man in need that to get up and walk. And this is what we have. We have something that we have given us that's ready to be given to this hurting generation of people that live around. And I know that sometimes we think that is the solution is social action, that we need to give lots of things or find ways, and we do this as well, but find ways of helping people. But guys, we have something inside of us that can transform anyone's life, and that's Jesus. The fire, the joy that comes from Him. And we need to be ready to keep that. We need to have this boldness and authority that comes from the Spirit to be able to see a need and know that the answer for that need is always Jesus. It's always Him. And we know that Lenten is Jesus. Lenten is the fire of God. There's a reason why we are here. There's a reason why God called each one of us here. And then we see in that same passage when it keeps going, that everyone around see that them doing that healing, it's like, oh, we're not that Peter and John, those guys. They were walking with Jesus before. They knew they were disciples, and then suddenly they go to this place and they start sharing the word of God again with boldness and authority. And they said, oh, these are not educated men. How are they able to talk like that? How are they able to share a message like that? So they all get quite astonished by Peter and John, the way they were talking. And they could see these men walk with Jesus. And guys, the best compliment that we can have in our lives is someone looking at us and see, I can see Jesus in you. I can see his fire on you. I can see his passion on you. I can see his boldness on you. There's nothing better that you can hear in your life than people smelling you and say, oh, you smell like Jesus. And I think this is what happened in the story of Peter and John. There was a transformation that happened within them that even people that are not close to them could see. They could see the same for like, and they said that they believed that Jesus is real because look how Peter and John are speaking and acting. And then the final thing that we're actually looking how disciples were living this life is how they faced persecution, how they saw suffering, how they saw difficulty. So you know that after that, after the church started and everything that happened, lots of them go sent to prison, some of them go murdered, lots of things happen with the followers of Jesus. But the way that they faced persecution, it was spread. So if you read final parts of Acts, you see that the church got together and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. We have some powerful people here that pray for you guys a lot. Yeah, if you guys, some of you are part of our WhatsApp group, and you know that prayer happens. But I was driving all day home and thinking, how could it be if we start like a intercession group in the church? Because I grew up in the church where we had an intercession group, and so you have no idea what happens in the background. So much happening, and I was thinking, oh, money. She's not going to pray, and Norma, she's like, all these people start coming to my mind. It's like, we actually have people here that pray. And this is what helped the church grow in Acts, was people behind them praying. So you see when Peter gets released from prison, and he goes and he finds that the whole church was praying for him. What would happen if they were not praying for him? So part of this boldness, part of this fire, part of this obedience, God, actually lots of people behind you praying as a church that prays. I'm going to call Jason back here, and we're going to pray for you guys. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray that we see the Spirit move in our lives. We pray that just like the disciples were transformed, that we let the Spirit transform us so we live a life where we can see Him moving, acting, talking to us. That we find this God that we need to know. That we find Him in our workplace. That we find what's the purpose of me being here, Lord. What is they going to do? How am I to speak with the people around me? How am I to deliver this task? Oh, what about my friendships, God? Who should I be investing this year? What type of conversation should I be having? How can I be glory to you in the way that I interact with people? What about church? Which church should I go? Where are you going to take me? Where I can live with you, where I can grow and be stretched to be transformed by you. He wants to see our faith today. faith and remind each one of us that He's alive. He's not a quiet God. That we get to experience Him just in the quietness. We get to experience Him everywhere, anywhere. But He's an intentional God. He has a purpose for each one of us, and He wants us to be intentional about Him too. He wants us to be intentional about the way that we immerse ourselves in His Word. You know, your daily devotional, when you open your Bible, He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you power. He wants to give you that knowledge that you need to talk about Him to others. He also wants to give you faith. Faith to believe that He not just loves you and cares for you, but He wants to move through you. He wants to give faith that everything that He said, transformation that Peter, John, the disciples have, is for you. No matter how young are you, how old are you, He wants to give you faith. He wants us to find space and give His space and seek and pursue that. It's one of the most important things in our lives, is prayer, prayer and fasting. That has become part of our routine, our relationship. Jesus done that, disciples done that. And the Spirit calls us for that every day. He calls us to turn off the distractions, stop the rolling, turn the TV off, and find Him. The disciples wait 10 days for the Spirit to come from Pentecost. 10 days. Would we wait 10 days for God to give us an answer when we pray about something? How much would we wait for the Spirit to come in our lives and transform us? Jenny shared in the Bible that she was praying for quite a long time to receive the gift of tongues. And she waited 2 years praying for that, and she received it. Praise God. Do you know, He's never late, and He's always there, but He's said to us sometimes to wait. You know, coming to live in Europe, living in Brazil, was a hard call for me. And before I met Jason, God gave me a specific word, and He was going to take me to a place where His Spirit didn't move the way I was used to. And the question he asked me, I was 18 years old, was, would you still worship me if no one around you was worshiping me as passionate as you want them to? If no one was stirring you up to be as passionate as you are now? And my answer was yes, you know. Because I know that even living in that Europe that has seen Christianity decline so much, to wait for His Spirit, He'll come again. I know that He comes in power. I know that people here gonna be transformed. And I know that even the restrictions that we have about being so conscious about ourselves and shine around each other can break when the Spirit comes. He brings boldness, He brings fire, then no one can stop. No personality can stop the Spirit of moving their lives. Chelsea Lemsel, we've been called by God today to wait for the Spirit. He's bringing something here in this house. It's been really strong in my heart this week that He's bringing something to us. And sometimes our meeting is going to look a little bit different because we're going to be waiting on the Spirit. We're going to find Him, and we're going to see a different church that we see today. Just like John and Peter walked different when they left that Pentecost day when the Spirit came. Something that Spirit is coming is going to give up. I think the word is boldness. Boldness to share Christ, to live there, to people around us. And the last point here is obey the Holy Spirit. We talked about this before. We need to stop resisting His direction, His calling. Sometimes we are in a situation where we really need to say, we should pray for this person. or you should say this, and you stop resisting. You know, I've got this before, but sometimes it is God wants to fix a certain area in our hearts, and you stop resisting the Spirit. He's calling us for a weakness. But we need that flow of His power, and we only have the flow of His power when we are letting Him guide, when we're conscious about His presence. I was reading an article from John Piper last night, and he was talking about this, about resisting the Holy Spirit, and he shares something about his life, and he says this: I believe this is where many of us are. We have resisted the Holy Spirit so often when He was calling us by witness to Christ that we are unfit for the flow of His power. The channels have become so clogged with fear and self-consciousness and doubt and rationalization and worldly preoccupation that we allow through the very discernible truth of God's love. You know, sometimes the Spirit still rushes somewhere, but then fear comes, self-consciousness comes, doubt comes, rationalization comes, get on the way of the Spirit moving through us. And it can be simple, Sometimes we're talking to a family member, you feel that's there, and you shut here because it's going to be too complicated. But we need to stop resisting the Spirit. We need to open those channels. It's time to open those channels and let Him talk to us and move through us. I'm gonna pray now. So if you can stand up. I'll call you in to help us to pray for us. And we're gonna pray. There's a lifestyle we're gonna live in a place where we're waiting for the Spirit. We move towards Him, we're pursuing Him through immersing ourselves in the Word, to believing and have faith and acceptance, through our prayer and fasting, and most importantly, to obeying the Holy Spirit, open up those channels.
So who wants to receive this power this morning? Who wants to receive it? Yeah? You can respond, guys, it's okay. Verse in Jeremiah says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, heart is one thing. I can see a few of us are tired this morning. Sometimes it's hard work to make it through. Sometimes it's difficult to make it through, to keep our attention on the one thing that matters, which is Jesus. It's hard. We have physical bodies. Your mind might be drifting off to what time you're going to get home for lunch. Your time might be drifting off into what you've got to get sorted for tomorrow. You might be drifting off to the fly that's buzzing around the room. You might be drifting off to think about preach last week or the one before, whatever else. You might be worried about the noise in the back by the kids. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Your ability to keep that attention on Jesus is paramount. Because if you can't even just keep your attention on Jesus, how do you expect your heart, which you cannot read, which you cannot understand, to focus purely on Jesus? So right now, Jesus, I just pray that our attention is wholly on you. And for those that have just prayed that they just asked that they want to receive this power, we're going to pray for you guys right now. And actually what I'd like us to do is I'd like you to put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you or in front of you. We're going to pray for each other as well, because Pentecost wasn't just one individual, it was about hundreds of individuals. 500 people on the day of Pentecost received the power of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, right now, we say come. Holy Spirit, we say we want you in this place, in our hearts right now. Jesus, we know that your power, we know that your will, we know that your way is greater than anything that we can do or we can make it by ourselves. We know, Jesus, when we try and do things by ourselves, we make a white mess of it. We make things worse, we just make bad choices, God. So we just say to you right now, Jesus, we want to follow you with everything that we have. God, we're sorry. Jesus, we're sorry for the times when we've either just let our feelings get in the way of following you. We're sorry when we've let our finances dictate where we gift us, where we gift and where we give our offering. We say sorry for the times when we've just neglected your word. We say sorry for the times when we've neglected to spend time with you, Jesus. We say, take us back to the garden, Jesus. Take us back to the garden where we can see you face to face, where we can spend time with you day after day. And it doesn't get boring. It doesn't get wearisome. It doesn't get tiring. Jesus, I pray right now for a fresh revelation, a fresh outpouring, a fresh blessing upon each person here in CLC Leicester. We know, Spirit, that your power is greater than anything else in our lives. We know that you have the power to change our hearts. We see you change our hearts. So God, we say right now, as we're sorry, we say change us. Change us from the inside out. Let us not be satisfied anymore with what we've had up until today. Let us not be satisfied with yesterday's bread. Let us not be satisfied with yesterday's food. Jesus, we say, give us a fresh anointing. We open up our arms to you and say, Jesus, we need you, we want you. Yeah, just as we're praying, a few of you are going to feel the need just to start praying as well, speaking out in tongues, crying out. Go for that. That's the Spirit moving through you. You might start to feel a tingling sensation. You might start to feel a movement you need to do. That is absolutely fine. We believe the Spirit comes in power. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, give us eyes to see everything that you have ahead for us. Give us ears to hear everything you have ahead for us. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you just download an impartation of what kingdom looks like for each person here. God, I pray that you remove the skin from their eyes, the scales from their eyes, that they can see how you are working already in their lives, Jesus. God, I thank you for the promises that you have spoken over every single person here. That those promises are not dead and buried, but those promises are living and active. Those promises are moving. Those promises are coming to fruition. God is saying to you right now that he has not left you, he has not forsaken you, and never will he. You are safe in his presence. You are safe in his arms. No matter what you're going through right now, God has not left you. God will never leave you. Don't let your attention wander. Don't let your focus go off. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what he's got for you. He's crying out to you. He says, ask and get. Ask and you will get. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. So in your heart, if you give a voice, in your mind right now, just knock. Knock on that door and say, Jesus, I'm wanting you. Jesus, I'm needing you here in my heart, here in my life. So,